Hi, and welcome to episode 28 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm your host, Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mouse from Mars and Stalkerville, and joining me to delve into the creeping madness of independent comics are writer, artist, part-time vigilante, and creator of the superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Hello.
And the kid from the wrong side of the tracks, who's just been looking for love in all the wrong places. It's Tony Esmond.
Depends on your definition of wrong, I suppose, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, where are you for love today?
I'll tell you off mic.
All right, okay.
Yeah, okay.
is Mike there?
He is.
But him.
Start as you mean to go on. Right, so we've got a very special guest coming up and to talk about all his lovely work. We had a few, not... Well, technical issues, I suppose you call that. Little bit of a hum, little bit of a buzz. It's nothing too major. So, and if you stick with us through the whole thing, you're going to hear loads of great stuff.
Yeah, some good stuff. Yeah. It's just there's a little bit of a hum, isn't there, for some of it? But yeah. It's manageable.
And it's not just Dan doing something.
Dan, we've tried this. This is our second attempt at doing this. And Dan made a vibrator joke a minute ago.
Oh, God. No, I'm going to compose myself. Right. Okay. So, yeah, let's get... Without further ado, let me introduce our guest for this week. Anyway, this week we're joined by the writer of the strange, macabre and brilliant cosmic horror book, Wart, and co-creator of awesome pod fave, Doc Dino. It's Chris Welsh. He hasn't said anything yet, so is he still there? Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hello, I am still here.
Hey.
I coughed just before, so I apologise for that.
It's okay. Sometimes they get stuck down your throat, don't they? Do you know what I mean? You got a cough.
What do you mean, Tony?
What? Please, why do you keep asking me questions this week?
Please elaborate.
Never.
I'm worried about you.
You're not worried about me. You're just trying to get me to say something saucy so you can use it in the outfit.
Oh, hashtag something saucy. Lovely. Chris is with us for the entirety of the show, and we'll be talking about his books, past, present, and future, and how he survives collaborating with Tom Ward, known for Merrick the Elephant Man. And we'll get to that all in good time. But first, what have we been reading? Should we get straight into it? Is there anything anyone wants to discuss in particular?
Not really.
No.
Too good. Well, so 2016 is off to a thrilling start. No, what have we been reading this week?
Shall I go?
Yeah.
I'll go first tonight. I don't normally double dip on books that I do reviews on Down the Tubes, unless they're sort of quite special, you know.
Yeah.
But I did one, I reviewed something this week, I think it went live yesterday, which is called World 3 by Neil Sandbrook, if anyone knows Neil. Neil's the writer and he's sort of owner, creator of Fly Comics, which has put out a few books now. Really good stuff. But World 3 is issue 2. I've been waiting for the second issue of this for quite a while now. And it's basically, it works as a sort of near future war story, but it makes it sound a bit more sort of Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica, than it actually is. It's actually sort of quite sort of grim stories of war. I'm going to compare it to something like some of the sort of grimmer stories from maybe Sergeant Rock or The Unknown Soldier and that sort of thing, but with a future setting, if that makes sense. He's got a few artists on. He's got excuse me for these pronunciations, but Ari Sirazad, Earl Geyer, nobody, and Ariel Iachi, who, there's three stories basically. There's that hum's gone. Oh no, it hasn't. There's three separate stories. The first one, it deals with the sort of cruelty on the battlefield story, which is really probably my favourite of the bunch. The art reminded me a little bit of maybe John Severin, something along those lines. Really sort of washed out colours, a sort of rain-sodden battlefield, you know, little sudden moments of violence amongst a lot of sort of ennui and, you know, existentialism and this sort of thing, you know, really nice. The second one is The Prophecy, which is art by Earl Geyer, and it's a sort of, it reads a bit like a radio play, like a claustrophobic radio play, where there's a group of people sitting in the back of a van travelling across country, and you sort of discover through their conversations their motivations and what they're up to, and that's really good. Really like that. And then the third one is is about basically an escape, where three people escape, art by Ariel Iachi, and three people escape off an island where they're being held.
It's very much how this show started, wasn't it? You know, when
people trying to escape.
Yeah, well, we got off the island and then we just set up shop and started doing the show. It's wonderful.
Is that a Lost reference? Because I never watched that series.
I never watched Lost. Well, no.
Okay. But it's really good. I know Neil's been sort of banging his head against the wall trying to get it out for a while. Sorry, the third story is called Law Stall Breakout, by Ari Sayarazad. But yeah, no, really great, really good stuff. I recommend it. He does all the conventions. I think one of his Twitter handles is UK Comic Conventions. And then he posts about London Super Comic Con and MCM. And we met him at Leamington, was it, I think, Vince?
Yes.
Last?
Yeah,
and I'm sure he'll be doing London. He does London every year. Yeah. Pop by his table and pick up a book. He did a book called War and Peace recently, over a year ago, that's a sort of buddy cop book, which I think the second issue is coming out soon as well. Well worth a look. You can find him at flycomics.com or on Twitter at fly_comics. Good stuff.
I must say, from your review, there was some bits of the artwork there, and it looked really nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of care taken in it, a lot of eye to detail. Some of the colours are really good as well, so it gives it that real touch of, you know, a special book, you know.
Nice.
Really does. Yeah, good.
Nice. What about you, Dan?
I read a book that was sent in to us, to the show, by Ken Reynolds. Sliced Quarterly. I think you've taken a look at this, Tony.
I have. It's very good.
It's very good. Interesting book. It's the remit. He starts an introduction. Ken, who supplied. I've done a book by Ken before. Was it Cognition?
Yes.
Was really. Yeah, same great traits in that that were in this. The remit he's kind of said at the beginning that when people contributed to this, they had to provide a story that was not typical comic fare, like zombies, aliens, superheroes, etc. But he wants to put in the foreground, this is a comic book. It's not like a fanzine or kind of like or anything along those lines.
He captured me when he said, let's be clear, this is a comic. I'll just read what he's put, because he's put, it seems to me that people like labels, zines, strips, comics with an X, graphic novels, web comics, narrative illustration, sequential art, motion comics, cartoons, funnies, infographics. He said it's all comics.
Yeah.
When he said that, I thought, right, I'm in for this. Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of a strange thing with like heavy metal music, and then there's like hundreds of different names for that kind of sort of. It's all the same thing. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand why everyone's reaching for a different kind of name to kind of go under it. It's kind of all encompassing, really.
It's in the snobbery almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
He kind of did when he said like this thing. He's kind of called out for people, and he's got some really nice strips that have been running in the magazine. It's nine stories, so there's a lot in there. There's a couple of great.
That's quite a few.
Yeah, there's a cracking one, and I can't remember the title. I didn't write it down, but essentially, it's a two pager with this chap that climbs up the top of a sort of a mountain, makes a slit in it, and sort of starts licking at this mucus coming out, and ends up biting it off.
It's called Geophagy, I think is the name of it. I've got it in front of me. Yeah,
that's cracking. I mean, there's no no text, is there? There's no speech in it at all.
Yeah, it's
very strange. Yeah, really great. I mean, that's a real standout one. But there's another couple of great ones in there. You've got my Meta Affliction, which is the first one in the book, where you've got a comic book character and a kind of panels over it that are kind of narrating her life. But she can see the panels and starts talking to the writer and sort of breaking the fourth wall and then smashing up the panels and then rearranging it to illustrate what she's thinking. That's a nice little play on it. That's great. And there's another one, All Along the Watchtower, which takes lyrics from the song and illustrates them. And it's strange because I've heard that song 101 times and I didn't imagine the pictures to go along with it. And it's really clever to see what the artist has done with the script. It's really good. There's loads of other great stuff in there, and I'd recommend you check it out. And you can do so at www.slicedquarterly.co.uk. Ken is looking for contributors. If you go to the website, there's a bit of details there about how you can get involved, contribute scripts, art, etc., etc. So go check it out and might see your work in issue two.
Yeah, no, I have to say one of my favourites in it was that Slam Slime by Lucas Kowalczyk, I think it is. about a guy that's sort of squeezing all of sort of pop culture into a drink.
Why do I know that name?
I think he did. Did he do Reckless Wrestlers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So favorite.
Yeah. And he just sort of, this old guy sort of drinks it, wipes his mouth, and then burps. And it just, you know, it says so much, doesn't it, just from that. But in the image is like turtles and RoboCops and, you know, monsters and superheroes all being squeezed out into this green liquid. Yeah, very good.
It's got a real international flavour, the book. It seems like there's artists and writers from all over the world in it. So that's one of the beauties of the internet, I presume. Kind of, you can kind of reach out and get everyone involved.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
One of the rare beauties of the internet, in amongst all that horror.
Yeah, point of view. Yeah. Board, you know.
Yeah. Horror and sex. That's all the internet is. And you get both on this show.
You do.
Yeah. It sounds really good, Dan. So, Slice Quarterly. Look out for that, folks.
And Chris Sides is in it as well. Chris does the. Does he do the dog in the bag story?
That's a great one.
Yeah. And that's one of my favourites, actually, I have to say.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Dog in the bag.
Yeah, story. Dog in a bag. Yeah, so, basic, true story, to, I think. Chris
if ever there's a reason to read this, it's just that.
Yeah.
Just the phrase, a dog in the bag story.
Yeah.
Oh, cool, brilliant. This week, I chose to read a book that was another book that was sent in by a listener. J.D. Oliver, he wrote a book called Deluge.
Oh, yeah. I've not read that yet. You said that to me.
Yeah. Now, it's from the Comics Experience Digital Publishing Programme. Have you heard of Comics Experience?
Yes.
No.
Yep.
Yeah. No. Well, for those out there who don't know about it, Comics Experience, it's an online comic book making course, basically, originally created by Andy Schmidt. He created it to sort of give people comics courses that he wished existed when he was trying to break into the industry and sort of learn the skills and stuff to become like professional or creator, editor, etc. And it's all online courses, and like many of the people who have done these have gone on to work in the industry for different publishers and stuff. Now, when I first read about it, I thought this is where Deluge has come from, but it has taken like 4 years to get to that stage. And I think it was on Comixology once before, and I know Pipe Dream Comics, friends of the show, that they've mentioned it before in the past. I think it's had an interesting. It's a re-release almost in a sense.
Okay.
But I think that just shows the importance, the potential importance of a re-release, because I'd never heard of it before, and now I do, and now I want to follow it. The basic setup is that of like there's an undercover FBI agent trapped in New Orleans. How do you say it? New Orleans. There's several different ways to say it, and I'll never get any of them right. anyway, and this guy's on the run from a group of rogue cops. And not only that, all of this happens in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. So it's like an action sort of thriller set up in amongst a natural sort of disaster based on a real life one. The story literally starts with a bang. On the first couple of pages, and I was in from there, and that also sets up the villains of the piece, and then it flashes back to 1 month earlier and begins the setup of the characters that will carry you through from up until where we are. There's not only just the undercover FBI guy Jarrett, who's pretty cool, but there's also a rookie female cop, Pat, who I'm sure is going to play a major role. I'm sure. For me, this story has like four major parts to it. You got like the FBI agent, the rookie cop, this villainous gang of rogue cops, and also the devastated New Orleans itself. Now, the first three are set up brilliantly in the first issue and tell you all you need to know, for your basic.
Yeah.
Pick the video case up off the shelf, and then you're like, right, I know exactly what I'm getting here. And I'm sure the actual Hurricane Katrina will play out more as the story goes on, because you can see the effects of it. And it doesn't feel like a story using that event, because obviously it's a real life event. And I think when it comes to that sort of stuff, you've kind of got to be careful, haven't you?
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like a story using that for the sake of it. It seems like an integral part of the story. I would say one of my only issues was that, I mean, the art is brilliant, right? And the art's by Richard P. Clarke, a guy that, in the making of this, because obviously this was independent, during the making of this, he got bigger sort of jobs as well. I think he was the colourist for Happy from Image Comics, the Grant Morrison book. Yeah, so
my son bought that. I was out with him the other day, and he bought that in Mega City.
Yeah, I've heard a bit about that. Yeah, so he was the colorist for that. So it's one of those ones you, where you're trying to do an independent comic, and your artist, you know, is obviously so good that they're then poached for these different roles, and obviously it's more money, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, his art's really good, though. I mean, but the only issue I have is there's a scene where Pat, the copper, is talking to a survivor of Katrina, who's on their roof, and like while she's in a boat and they're communicating with each other. And the survivor she talks to looks quite a lot like the FBI guy. So when this scene played out, it confused me a little, if you know what I mean.
Because, right, okay.
Yeah, I won't put any spoilers, but I was thinking, is that the main guy? And then like a couple of pages, it all became, oh no, it's not. It's someone else. So that was the only issue I had from it, though, because it was a really nice setup issue for what I hope will continue to sort of add layers of tension, action, and character as it goes on. I mean, it reminded me of like a good sort of action thriller that you'd like, you know, pick up on DVD or something. You know, when you could get a good action thriller these days, it's harder to find those these days.
There is a great action film set in New Orleans.
Go on.
Directed by John Woo.
I'm in. Go on.
Any ideas? Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, Hard Target.
Love it.
He literally jumps over a car.
Yeah.
And that hair, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Oh, I love a bit of Van Damage.
Yeah.
yeah,
I sort of just take you on a tangent there.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It was a worthy tangent as well. But I think Deluge is one to look out for. It's going to be available. They're re-releasing it on January the 13th. So if you see it on Comixology, because it'll be on the Comixology submit, I think, it's definitely worth checking out, and I'm going to be checking out some more of it.
In the story, does the hurricane hit, or is it en route?
No,
or?
It's sort of the flashback is sort of it set in the past before it happens. The story starts, and you have all the people on their roofs and stuff, and there are cops in boats floating about. So it has actually happened, and then when it flashes back, it's before everything kicks off. And you find out a bit more about their character. So maybe there'll be more flashbacks where you see the hurricane hit, or maybe it'll just play out in the aftermath. But that's, you know, we shall see.
At least, like you said, stuff comics when they set around real world events where people kind of lost their lives and stuff. I always find that very kind of, you got to tread very, very carefully there.
Yes, very much so. Because you don't want to sort of glorify it. I remember when Marvel did that 9/11 book, didn't they?
Yeah, that was wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think as long as it's done respectful and not sort of glorifying anything that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sort of in that Superman Returns when they talk about, say, why wasn't he there for, like, 9/11 and stuff, and it's like, really? You're bringing that up? It's kind of...
Yeah.
That's not a great way to mesh the two, because you can't mesh them.
But yeah.
Obviously, like with the Marvel one, that's the way that's done is digging it in respect to it.
I mean, the Marvel.
I'm glad to hear that this comic does a good
Marvel
job.
The Marvel comics of the time, you know, Marvel are so entrenched in New York City, that for them not to mention it, and it was done rather, really well, if I remember correctly.
And I think they reshot parts of Spider-Man, didn't they, at the time?
Yeah.
Because they had him hanging between the Twin Towers, didn't they?
I remember seeing a trailer in the cinema at the time where he took out, like, there was a bank robbery, and like he's. You never saw Spider-Man, but you saw like they tried getting away in a helicopter, and then
I remember that.
Was caught between the two towers in a giant web.
Right.
You know, I remember that, and then of course like the tragedy happened. So.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I know what you mean. If there's a real tragedy that you're going to use, then you know you've just got to be careful about it. And it doesn't seem like this one's.
Okay.
It is showing people in the distress.
I've just looked at it. Lovely art, I have to say. Really nice, yeah.
Yeah, it's really professional looking. I mean, I love, you know, as soon as I looked at the cover, I thought, this is a real nice cover. I mean, sometimes when you see a nice cover, the art can sometimes, you open it up and you think, ah. But this one does actually follow through. The interior is just as professional. So, be sure to keep an eye out for Deluge on Comixology. And,
cool.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear more about it. So, what about you, Chris? What have you been reading this week?
Well, I've got two things. One's an Image book, so everyone's probably read it. And the other one, I don't think it's not out yet. So that's
okay.
The first one, it's Injection, Warren Ellis and Declan Shalvey.
I've heard a lot about Injection.
I read the first issue. I need to catch up on it. Yeah, but I enjoyed the first issue. Yeah.
Yeah, I read the first trade yesterday. It's good. I think maybe I'm not quite smart enough to really understand everything that's gone on in it, but I definitely enjoyed it.
Don't put yourself down, Chris. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of yeah, the story is kind of a it's taking place after something big's happened. So there was kind of a group of five people put together to sort of, it doesn't really say exactly what they're trying to do. Some part of like a shady organization, and I think they're trying to put in like a human conscious into AI, and then they do it, but it doesn't work out the way they want. So then it's years later when sort of the story picks up, and there's some very odd things going on. The AI is sort of reacting, it's sort of calling out to them. But it looks lovely. It reads very well. I just don't think I fully understand the story yet, so I'm going to read it again.
Yeah, I remember a lot of the covers are quite nicely designed, if I remember correctly. They've got some really beautiful covers on that book.
Yeah. I mean, there's one sequence where sort of the main character's called to like an office building, and she's told that there was a researcher in a certain room who did something with some sort of rock that was found. And when she goes in the room, it's this huge, cavernous, sort of otherworldly place covered in like green fungus. And she seems to think it's reasonably normal, and then she blames the AI on it. Blames it on the AI. So it looks lovely. I'm just not. I think it's one of those. This is probably going to all sort of wrap up around volume 3.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed their Moon Knight run, I have to say, because they went straight off Moon Knight, didn't they, doing that together?
Yeah.
Warren Ellis and Declan Chavvy onto that. And I really like the Moon Knight stuff, yeah. Sort of sparse and bleak. And this does look good. Yeah, I'll definitely give it a go.
You had me at green fungus.
Yeah, it's sort of luminous green fungus. It's very pretty fungus. I'm just not fully aware of what the purpose is yet. It's something I'll read again, and hopefully it'll make a lot more sense.
Trade has done its job, hasn't it, really? If you go back for it. Yeah. And its image, something. So the first trade isn't going to break the bank.
Hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think it was like a fiver off Amazon, so...
I love that image.
I try all those, yeah.
Yeah,
they're like drug dealers. They hook you with the cheap one.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. So what's your second one then?
The second one, it's a comic I got given at Thought Bubble by a writer called Magnus Aspley. It's like a part one of four. It's like a modern noir sort of detective story, sort of like a Scandinavian sort of TV show, but in a comic. So there's a lot of different threads going on, a lot of different various different crimes, and just you sort of follow the police detective, and then but there's a bit that is a bit strange where his dad's sort of like a Batman kind of figure, but he's retired.
Okay.
Were they actually at Thought Bubble then?
No, he was talking to me and Tom for a little bit, and he just sort of gave me a copy of it. I think he's going to Kickstarter next month. Do either the first book or the first four.
Nice. What's that called then?
It's called Spiral.
Spiral. Oh,
yeah. Okay, so I've heard of that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's written by Magnus Aspley, art by Emerson DeMeyer, and lettering by Nick Shaw. I'm sure everyone knows. It looks lovely. Like it's really, really professional put together. I think he said he only had 20 copies, but sort of printed just to sort of test it.
Okay.
And he gave one to you.
Yeah. It looks pro. Like if it was put out by Image or, you know, anyone like that, you wouldn't bat an eyelid.
What is it? A series? Is it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think the book I've got is the first of four.
Right.
He was saying he's not sure how long it's going to take him to do, but I think he is going to Kickstarter with it quite soon. So.
Right.
It's definitely something to keep an eye out for. Like it's really well put together. It looks lovely. And you know, there's enough story in it to make you want to read more.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Nice. Yeah. I have to keep an eye for
that. Very cool. Yeah.
So, speaking of Kickstarters and the like, and comics born from, well, not born from Kickstarters, it's time to put the focus on you, Chris.
Okay.
Loyal listeners will know what I'm going to say. But are you ready? It's like a catchphrase now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You got a few.
So from roll.
Here comes Dusty Bin. but Wart.
Yep.
Pitch it to us.
Okay. Wart is a Lovecraftian cosmic horror comic that doesn't take itself too seriously. It starts with the main character, who is Wart, being dragged through a lake by a giant monster, only to find himself in a different dimension, where his kind of quite grand Victorian home is now an insane asylum. From there, things just get from kind of bad to worse. There's a lot of different kind of giant monsters in and small monsters, and there's a kind of a crazy but not particularly well organized cult, mad scientists, that kind of thing. It's written by me with art by Amar Al-Jalabi. He's a doctor artist.
How did this come about? Because it is a wild and wacky sort of story, and like, you know, obviously you've got the Lovecraftian sort of influence there, which already sends you in a completely, you know, God knows what can happen when you do Lovecraft. And you've got all these monsters and cults and everything. How did this story come about? Was this you, or was it Amar? Because it's a webcomic, isn't it? Is that how it started?
Yeah, it started as a webcomic. From tomorrow we're launching a new website where everything that's on there already, which is almost 3 books worth of stuff, is going to remain free. But from now on, we're going to move on to sort of print from book 4 onwards.
Nice. Yeah, a few people do this. I think, wasn't it Nimona did a similar thing, didn't they?
Oh, Dan? Did they? Okay.
Yeah.
There's been a few people. I think, especially with kind of the long form comics like ours, people get to a point where they would keep up with it, but they'd rather just wait for the paper copy. So we're sort of noticing that the website sort of isn't getting as many hits as it was, but we're selling a lot more books.
Oh, really?
So I think it's just people, you know, read enough to go, oh yeah, I like this. The books are, you know, it's only a few pounds. I might as well shell out for it. So plus in the print books, we sort of provide a bit of extra story. Kind of like an extra 5-page little bits at the end of each one.
They're not thin books either. They're not like sort of 18-20 pages. How many pages is in each issue? Is it like?
It's around about 40, between like 36 and 40 pages in each book.
That's a lot. That's a lot of bang for your buck. I think it's really good value. I think.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, that's kind of what we want to do. I mean, obviously, neither of us are making any money out of this, so we just want to try and get the books out there and kind of build off that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sort of came about. Amar, a few years ago, posted a thing on Reddit saying that he was looking for a writer to work on a story idea he had, because he kept starting stories and never really getting around to finishing it. So
we've all been there.
Yeah. So I sent him over a few kind of short stories I'd written, because I hadn't actually written a comic before that, but I always wanted to. I didn't really know how it worked. I didn't know any artists, so I thought, well, you know, I'll give that a go. That sounds all right. And he liked my stuff, so sent me over this idea he had for a 10-page kind of story about a guy trapped in an asylum. And now, like 3 or 4 books later, we're still working on it. So,
blimey! Yeah. So it was originally just going to be a short then.
Yeah, I just have a very sort of brief idea. He wanted to do something with kind of a Lovecraft kind of vibe, like a guy trapped in an asylum where he wasn't really sure what was real and what wasn't, which sounded good to me, you know. So I started sort of throwing down ideas, sent him back a 10-page script, and I was like, well, I've got another 10 pages after that if you want to carry on. I've got another 10 pages, and you know, we just sort of built from there. Because obviously at the start we were just putting them on the website, hoping someone would find them. When we eventually got enough pages to realize, oh, we can do a book, so we did the Kickstarter for the first 2 books. That went really well. We just kind of kept on working on it.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that you went for a Kickstarter for the first 2 books rather than like doing it as one sort of collected book.
Yeah, well, I think we sort of realized that the stuff we had, there was kind of a nice ending at the end of the just after 30 pages, and if you put an extra little bit in there, then it wrapped that book up nicely. And by that point, we were already sort of halfway through what we would do as a second book. So we thought, rather than do sort of 2 separate Kickstarters for that, we might as well just do one, get them out. I think people really responded to the fact that they could actually read most of it online anyway for free.
Yeah, I think if you've got your audience, you know, after a while they'll want a copy of it, wouldn't
they? Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, definitely.
The website at the time, I mean, we were getting kind of a, you know, readers return every week to read the new page, but we weren't keeping to a proper schedule, unfortunately. Just, you know, the way things sometimes take more time than you expect. So the readers that we were getting, there wasn't an awful lot of them, but since we did the Kickstarter, it sort of it got out there to a lot more people. And then after that, we were getting a lot more hits on the site, which obviously was a great thing. And then when we kind of came around to doing the Kickstarter for book three, that's what when we realized most people were just waiting for the books now.
Yeah.
So they could actually hold it and, you know, read it.
And the website launches tomorrow, does it, Chris? Or
hopefully, yeah. After this, I'm going to be, I've got to go in and sort of spell check everything. Depending on how long that takes me, it'll be either tomorrow or, you know.
Yeah,
that's nice. This week anyway.
That's good timing, isn't it? We didn't realise that when we booked you. Yeah, have a nice one. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be this week. It's just going to be kind of a sort of simplified website where you can still go on and you can still read the first three books worth of stuff, you know, on your screen, but it's going to be a bit more of a store presence if you want to buy the paper copies and,
right,
and all that.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
It's good that the paper copies have really taken off, I think, and, like, you know, that must have, like, really encouraged you both just to keep doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we sort of do quite large print runs, which means the books that we can do, that, you know, it's we can sell them for still quite cheap and still sort of make a little bit of a profit. It's selling really well, because obviously we try and keep it as cheap as we can.
Yeah.
Which means I've got a full of books.
Yeah.
An interesting point that your readership went up when you went to print. I find that fascinating, because obviously with web comics, you feel like you're kind of shouting into the void sometimes. You have the regular commenters and your site hits, but you don't really realise how many people are actually reading or not your book. So
yeah, I mean, we were getting sort of pretty much like no comment engagement, but we were getting a lot of hits. You know, and then sometimes if you put a new page up, you might get, you know, almost 1,000. You know, clicks. Sometimes you put a page up and you get less than 100. So we just thought, well, rather than keep on doing that and, you know, sort of not really knowing who's reading what, if we just stick to the books from now on, people seem to respond to that a lot more. That's kind of the plan from book four onwards.
I'll say this quick story. I had a weird thing. Someone I used to know years ago got in touch with me on Twitter, and he was speaking to one of his workmates about, like, comics and stuff, and he was recommending webcomics he read and he recommended Vanguard. He said,
what does he know?
He said, some guy named Dan Butcher. And he was like, oh, no, used to know someone called that. And then he found me through Twitter. So,
now you're getting married.
And now you're a couple. It's not embarrassing to meet people online anymore. You know, it used to be, didn't it? You could never really admit it. You know, but it's fine now.
Yeah,
I think as well, like, the paper copies only really took off just by going to, you know, conventions and selling them that way. So we do sell some through the website itself, and hopefully with the new redesign we'll sell some more, but it is just, you know, conventions. They seem to go down really well there.
How did the Kickstarters for Warp go? How did he find them, running them?
The first one, well, to be honest, they weren't, I don't want to say that they weren't difficult, because obviously they were, there was a lot of planning, but yeah, they kind of went quite smoothly. The first one, I think we were funded in about 2 weeks, so we had 2 weeks left. We ended up getting £1,000 more than we asked for. With book three, obviously because it was only one book, I think we got about £500 more than we asked for, I think. But that was kind of funded in the first week. And then obviously the way Kickstarter sort of reacts to that is it stops. So if you hit your target in a week, then you sort of 3 weeks where nothing really happens. It was really encouraging, the fact that, you know, if we say, oh, here's a book that you want to make, do you want a copy? And enough people said, I'll have one of those, please. They went quite smoothly.
Oh, cool. That's one. There's in the first couple of pages of War, issue one, there's a sequence where the monster pulls him through the ice and he communicates with him, and you have kind of like these fleshy words written out in the panels.
Yeah.
Was that in the script, or was that the artist taking that on?
It was a bit of both. I put it in the script and said, you know, that I want this panel to say, kind of, you know, you will serve us. I was like, just kind of, if you make him look kind of a little bit fucked up, just make it look kind of gory and weird. And then, like, Amar just went away and made that, which, you know, it looks amazing. But he's got a habit of doing that. Like, I used to sort of go into detail with how I wanted the monster to look, and he would kind of, he'd take my comments on board, and then he'd just draw an amazing monster. So now I just kind of go, like, oh yeah, just draw sort of, you know, this huge thing or this little weird creepy thing or something. I mean, and he seems to know exactly what I mean every time. So
on issue 3, there's quite there's a major sort of monster in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite sort of twisted. I mean, it's quite the main monster for issue 3, if we can call it that. There's sort of sections of it. There's large claws. There's this gaping sort of maw. Was that all him, or did you throw some ideas?
Again, it's a bit of both. I sort of sent him some reference photos of various different things. If you've ever played Resident Evil 4, there's one kind of bad guy in that, which I was like, I wouldn't like that, but not like that, if you know what I mean. So he's just sort of I sent him a couple of different things, and he took that on board.
Because that creature is also a great twist as well in the story, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that, like, when at the very start, I was like, I want to kind of go here with this guy. So I was saying to Amar, like, this might be a bit of a spoiler, but I was like, don't ever show his legs. I was like, you only see him from, like, you know, just waist or knees up. You never see what he's standing on.
Interesting.
We sort of did. That was sort of planned from the start.
Bit like Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Yeah, because this guy's, he was standing in a box to make himself look taller.
So
that was sort of planned from the start, but I think it took a little bit of convincing Amar that it would work, and then when it came around to doing it, it was a lot of work for him. Because you know, those pages are very detailed, and that particular monster, I think it took him, you know, hours to do. Like I say, he nailed exactly what I meant,
He's a Dutch artist, isn't he? And that means that when you jumped into the convention game, which I know you did, like, full throttle, you've done a lot of conventions with Tom. You also managed to go to Holland for a Dutch one, didn't you?
Sweet. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, how did that come about?
Basically, Amar sent me an email saying there's going to be a big Dutch con. Do you want to come? And obviously, with me and Tom, the way we sort of are with drinking and stuff like that.
I love the way you
very quietly. Where that was going.
That was very quietly the way we are with
getting on it.
It was a very simple conversation. It was kind of like, "Oh, Tom, do you want to go to Amsterdam?" Yeah, sure. Like, that was it. We got it again this year.
I can't imagine what would draw you to Amsterdam, to be fair. Yeah.
So you're going again this year? When's that?
It's in March.
Okay.
It's 20th March, something, whatever the weekend is around the 20th March.
Yeah, because I know you guys are cutting down on your conventions, but how did the Dutch one go?
It was great, really. It was sort of the size of an MCM.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, maybe even bigger than the MCM. It was absolutely massive.
I was in a comic shop in The Hague, I suppose, 4 years ago, something like that. And I think it was around the same time that the first London Super Comic Con had happened. And I think the London Super Comic Con were billing themselves as Europe's biggest convention.
Yeah.
And this guy in the comic shop, the owner, said to me, he said, "Oh, you're from London." He said, "Haven't they been to a Dutch one?" And he was explaining to me how big they are. And they're a huge deal out there, aren't they? You know?
Yeah.
I think this one, the Dutch Con last year, sort of billed itself as like the first big Dutch Con.
Right.
I don't know how true that is, but that's sort of how they sort of sold it. I think what they meant was it was the first big sort of MCM style, where it was comics and it was, you know, everything else that goes along with that. They had the multimedia sort of guests. They had all the cars in the hall and all that sort of thing.
Amazing.
It was a really big seller as well, strangely, because you know, even for me and Tommy, we were selling English language books. But there was just that many people there that we sold really well. I think maybe we sold to, like, you know, 1% of the overall people who were there, but it's still...
It's not bad. We're shit over here, aren't we? We don't know nobody in this country speaks another language, but you go to, you know, Scandinavia or Holland or anywhere like that, they all speak English, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, they're all prepared to speak two languages. Well, of course, we're not, are we? We're lucky we speak English, but they are big sellers. You go into any comic shops in Paris and, you know, Amsterdam and these sort of places, they have huge English language sections, you know.
I know we've actually had some listeners from Holland.
Oh, okay.
I know, when I've checked the stats. So if any of you out there are from Holland, then go to the convention in Amsterdam in March and say hello to Chris.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, it's probably Amar, so.
Oh. It might be, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you've ruined it now.
Hello, Amar. Yeah. No, that's brilliant, though. I mean, you know, you don't, especially with the UK small press, not many of them get a chance like that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just because we sort of had the connection there.
That's what it's all about, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you've got the connection and you've got the opportunity to do it, then you've got to take it up, haven't you, really?
I think we're stuck in a sort of circular rut sometimes, aren't we? It's the same faces at the same festivals. I know you'll get new ones these days, you know, but for a few years there was a sort of cycle of the same festivals over and over again. And I think if you're prepared to take a punt and do something like, you know, at a convention in Amsterdam or even Angoulême or Lucca or something like that, you know, I think it's to your benefit sometimes. The problem is the expense, obviously, a lot of the time, but, you know, it's worth a go, I think. You know, I went to Lucca a few years ago. It's brilliant. Incredibly sort of art-centric festival, you know. Yeah, they do it well out there, I think.
So, did you drink your profits?
Pretty much, yeah.
Good man. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't so much, obviously, we had to pay for flights and the hotel and that, so we didn't actually make much of a profit, but we drank quite a lot.
Was in the grand tradition of English comics.
Was it one day or 2 days?
It was 2 days. The Saturday was, you know, insanely busy. Yeah. The Sunday was a bit more subdued, but it meant we could actually get around and see various things. And it was an absolutely huge sort of convention. They had like a whole hall where they were showing all films, kind of like all horror movies, and the, you know, that section of the building was all done up like kind of an old sort of crypt. It was a fantastic.
Plus, you've got a new issue to take with you.
Yes.
So. Yes. Yeah.
Or I guess, does Amar have his own stock?
He doesn't know. I'm taking over his stock when.
Nice one, mate. That's good.
He actually came over to Thought Bubble, didn't he, last year?
He did. Yeah, he's been over for two conventions. He came over to Nottingham, not the last one. That's just gone. The one before that.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And he came to Thought Bubble. 2015.
Oh, and I did not get a chance to say hello. I shall rectify. Is he going to be over this year for any?
Most likely the Thought Bubble, I imagine.
Right.
Or, unless we do any sort of MCM. So, I mean, there's the Liverpool MCM in March, which we're doing, but I think that might be a bit too close to DutchCon for him to get away.
Did you get manage to get onto that Liverpool MCM? I know it's your local gaff, isn't it?
We were trying to get sort of a dealer table, a bit more expensive, but we thought because it is the home sort of home turf. We'd attempt that, but it was just impossible. I think they were sold out within minutes.
Really?
So we ended up getting. Me and Tom have got one table in the Comic Village, which we're going to share. So that's not as. It's not as grand as the.
It's more romantic, though, isn't it?
It's nice.
It means we'll be sort of crammed in with 30 or 40 other.
It's amazing. There seems to be MCMs everywhere. I looked at, there's an MCM Telford, isn't there, this year?
Really?
Yeah. You know, is there, is there an MCM, I don't know, the Silly Isles or something? You know, there's got to be, they seem to be spreading out all over the place. Is that Liverpool's first year or is it second year? I'm not sure.
It's the first year. I think that they built quite a large convention centre, sort of. Last summer, so I think that this is the first year we've actually had somewhere to put it. So, it's going to be a good show, I imagine. It's right on the waterfront, sort of, within walking distance of the city centre. So, it should be good.
Is that where Richard and Judy used to be?
Pretty much. Where Fred the Weatherman was.
And that floating British Isles.
You can't talk about him now, can you?
No, you can't talk about him anymore.
He's banged up, isn't he, now?
I think he is.
Yeah.
So if you come down to Liverpool MCM, you can walk past the bit where he fell in the water that one time. So
and just go, ha, you deserved it.
Hope it's cold. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So Warp, which I think everyone should check out because it's, I mean, especially in the Lovecraft genre, because let's face it, in this day and age, it is a genre now, isn't it? It's a subgenre.
Yeah, it does seem to be, doesn't it? Yeah.
Warp.
We sort of try. We don't want to just copy any of his stories or any of his work or anything. We just sort of try and take the sort of very loose sort of feeling of it, the cosmic horror. And
that's what I like about it. It's the cosmic horror without saying, you know, for fans of Lovecraft. It is what it is. It's its own thing. You know, it's just that, you know, it's obviously people who love Lovecraft have just created this story. That's all it is. Mm. And it's definitely one to check out because it's so different from everything else. You know, you're not trying to... It's hard to describe it because it's so sort of crazy and out there. And, obviously, you know, I like it because I drew a picture for you.
Yeah, you did. Thank you very much.
that's all right. I'll expect sexual favours when we finish the show.
Fuck yeah. It's not even near the end of the show. It's already going badly.
Yeah. What do you mean, going badly? Anyway, but... So wart is brilliant, but you seem to be a man that's got a few things lined up, as well as wart, which there's going to be more of. You've had this Kickstarter, which I don't think anyone knows about.
we have kept it very quiet, just like the three or four tweets an hour.
Yeah. Tom Ward originally told us about the idea, which then, by some miracle, became some kind of reality. It went from a drawing on a pizza box to a Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah,
and Doc Dino.
Yeah.
How did this actually come to be?
Well, it started off. I'm not going to name sort of the publisher and website, but we noticed that a very sort of certain publisher, which I'll tell you off air if you like, but they seem to be publishing sort of any old shit. So we were trying to think of the most ridiculous thing that we could send them to see if they'd accept it. It's one of those publishers that sort of Kickstarter based, so they'll just put anything on Kickstarter and see what takes off and what doesn't. Obviously, you know, taking away from the fact that people can do that themselves. So we started sort of throwing this idea together, and Tom mentioned a surgeon dinosaur, and then we started throwing ideas about, you know, what could happen in the story, and then we sort of realised it was actually pretty funny, and we liked it enough to sort of take it on ourselves and actually put our names to it, and then we actually wrote it in Amsterdam last March.
It all makes sense now.
We found a bar that was doing.
Yeah,
it's very expensive to get drunk in Amsterdam, but we stumbled on a bar that had was like a happy hour for like 2-for-1 bottles of Coors.
Right.
So we just hammered those. I had my laptop with me, so we sort of kept doing, you know, we've thrown ideas about the story and hammered out kind of a screenplay plan, I guess. And then we started on the script, like in that bar.
They went to Amsterdam and worked on a script.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was in Amsterdam, a lady wrote a postcard for me in a bar, and she didn't use her hands. That's quite a good
one.
Yeah.
Oh my god, did she sign it?
Yeah, it's quite good writing as well, quite good handwriting.
Right. So she's her mouth. Is it
yeah,
mouth?
Exactly. Yes, yeah,
like feet.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
She held the pen.
Yeah, so we...
Right. I'm not the one who's taking it off rails, it's Dan that time.
we did most of the story in that bar, and then when we got back, we started doing drafts of it and, you know, like adding jokes and fixing the story up and trying to get it as tight as possible. And then we realised, you know, this might actually take off. We put it all together and took it to Kickstarter. It's got 5 days left, and I don't know if it's going to make it. It's got quite a bit of a way to go. It's done very well. We've got like over £2,000, but it's. I think maybe the time of year with the over Christmas might have killed it a little bit. We've got 5 days left, so we're going to try and hammer it for the next 5 days and see what happens.
Because it was a longer Kickstarter as well, wasn't it? Wasn't it a 60-day one? Is that what you went?
I think it was like 48 days. But we kind of added in the weeks over Christmas where we knew nothing had already happened.
Right.
So it was a 30-day campaign, but we just sort of assumed that nothing would happen over Christmas and New Year. In hindsight, we probably should have waited until January, but we thought we'd give it a go and try and get on, because we noticed how there wasn't that many Kickstarters going live over Christmas, and we thought, oh, we could be the ones to do that. Yeah, but no, I think there's a reason why not many Kickstarters go live over Christmas.
Don't a lot of funding comes to Kickstarters when they're in their last week or so?
Yeah,
you get a lot of cards, but it rush. You really do, don't you?
Yeah.
I think our best day was just a couple of days ago. We sort of jumped up, a few hundred in just a few hours. So, it's still possible. We're not writing it off. We're just sort of talking contingency plans.
I mean, it's not for the shortage of you guys sort of promoting it and other people sort of promoting it. I've seen it on a place down your Cape and
it's down the tube
and all kinds. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been very well covered, and everyone who mentions it seems to like it. I think for some reason it's just not getting the attention on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
You can never tell why. You genuinely have got no idea. Yeah, more you overanalyze stuff, the more you won't know, I think, sometimes. Yes. Hopefully it'll get there. You know.
Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff that you wonder how the hell that got funded in the first place.
Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, if it doesn't make it, obviously we're not bitter.
Are you going to still do it if it doesn't make it? Because obviously, unfortunately, like we've talked about on the show, Chris Lackey in Trans Reality 2, his Kickstarter unfortunately didn't succeed, so he can't really make the book. So, you know, that's gone on hiatus for a while, which is a shame because that's a great book. But with this one, do you have plans?
We do, yeah. I mean, the book, as we're trying to Kickstarter at the moment, it's like 68 pages long, and that's kind of a full story. Start to finish, beginning, middle, end. So we thought that might be a bit more attractive to potential sort of backers, but it's possible that people prefer single issues or a smaller book for just a few pounds as opposed to a full book for, I think we got it on there for six. I think we're going to try and split it up probably into two or three and then either go back to Kickstarter or kind of fund the first book ourselves and then go back to Kickstarter for the second one. It's something that we definitely want to sort of carry on with.
It's quite different from, like, obviously you've got Wart and Tom's got Merrick the Elephant Man. It's a very different proposition from those two.
That's kind of why we did it. We thought, like, it was entertaining enough and different enough to sort of be like a kind of like a cleanse for all the horror stuff we've been doing, so we sort of go the complete opposite end of the spectrum and see what happens.
I can certainly see it finding an audience, that kind of crazy idea. It's just mad enough to find an audience, I think.
it's one of those things that we genuinely believe in it. We think it's funny. It's just whether we can convince everyone else that it's funny. we're also very determined to just get it in front of everybody, it's going to be to everyone.
Yeah, I think if you start worrying about what other people find funny, then you're in trouble, aren't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we believe in it,
Same as us. We get 3.5 listeners a week, so that's all right. Yeah,
it's beautiful. What our mums will do for us, eh?
Yeah.
I'm at the half, am I?
Cool.
So, if you listen, obviously you might listen to this 2 months later. So, apologies, you missed out on it. But if you're listening to it fresh, check out the Doc Dino campaign on Kickstarter. You should be able to just search Doc Dino, and I don't think anything else will come up.
I think you can actually Google Doc Dino, and it's one of the first results. So,
awesome.
Very clever. Yeah.
Google Doc Dino.
The SEOs.
Find the Kickstarter and pledge, because it's worth it. Who doesn't want to see surgeon dinosaurs? That's what I say.
Yeah,
what I want to say.
In bed with chicks.
Oh, yeah. That would not... Yeah, plural.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like an average day in the Vincent household.
I also have a selection of fabulous moustaches that I choose from to wear each day. And top hat. I also wear a top hat.
Yeah. And a crap surgeon.
Yeah. It is true. Never get me to perform surgery. Never again. It's worth checking out the Kickstarter just for the Kickstarter video. Where you had a couple of bottles of dinosaur wine, I believe it was.
Yeah, obviously we were planning on doing the video as professionally as we could.
Really? Really? When did that go out the window?
Well, we'd written a script, we'd hired in directors and everything, but then on the way to Tom's, I went to Tesco and spotted a few bottles of wine that was Dino branded, so bought a bunch of those, and then we got kind of shit faced and made a very drunk video.
Yeah.
Yeah. that we're not sure whether that went down well or poorly. We've had a lot of people say.
I think it's like a lot of comedy. Some people will love it. Some people will hate it.
Yeah.
You just gotta be.
Yeah.
You just gotta not care. Yeah.
With it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've had some people say that they've backed us because of that.
Yeah.
We've also on Kickstarter you can sort of see the metrics. So you can see quite a lot of people sort of watching the whole thing and then clicking away from the page.
Okay.
Oh dear, shame on them.
No, but yeah, I mean, we had a lot of fun. So that's the main thing. Like,
yeah,
the hangover was the next day. We're not that fun, but the video itself was.
Yeah, because you're not drinking glasses of wine. You're drinking from the bottle.
Yeah. But yeah, it was good.
You scallywags.
And the wine itself actually wasn't that bad, so you know, yeah. Dana Wine won a spokesperson.
That's quite classy for Liverpool, isn't it?
it was £5 the bottle, so.
Oh, get you. Yeah.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah. I made the mistake, but I think when I saw you, I think, was it in Lancaster? I think I saw you, and you told me which part of Liverpool you're from, and I went, oh, that's quite nice there, isn't it? And you went, no.
Yeah, that was right.
Yeah.
It's not the worst part of Liverpool, but it's not best.
Yeah.
It's not like Escape from New York, then.
Yeah, it's not White Lightning. It's more Dino Wine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, nice. It's a few steps above Lambrini.
Oh, dear. Right. Well, are you going to crack open? If you make your Kickstarter goal, are you going to get some more bottles of that and have a celebration?
We've actually got a stretch goal for £30 more than the goal where we were going to buy a fancy bottle of rum and drink that. And then, yeah, if we hit that, then we release the outtakes from the video, which are...
Hang on, one of your stretch goals is for you to go and get a bottle of rum?
Yeah, it's like, so I think the goal is like 5,500.
There, Chris.
Yeah, the goal is 5,500, but if we hit 5,500 plus 30... then we'll go and buy a nice bottle of rum. And we'll also release the outtakes video, the outtakes clips from the video, which, I mean, that video took us 4 hours to make, so there are a lot of outtakes.
That's what Dino Wine will do to you, my friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Doc Dino. Now, as well as that, we've got different sections for this guest, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've got the comic, the Kickstarter.
I'm up to a lot.
Yeah, you are. And thankfully it's all comics.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that we know of. So we've had the comic that's out now, we've had the Kickstarter that's in progress, and you've got a little something in the pipeline, haven't you?
Yes,
you,
I have.
Do you want to discuss more about it? Or do you want to tell us, on air, to stuff it?
No. Yeah, I'm happy to talk about it. I mean, I've not actually... I've shown the odd page and the odd sort of panel from it, but I've not really announced it in any way. Yeah,
we checked out a few pages. You very kindly sent through a few pages, and it looks quite brilliant.
Yeah, it looks brilliant. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really good.
So, yeah, it does, mate. Yeah, it looks really quality. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us more about it.
Well, it's a book called Ness. At the moment, it's sort of planned as like a 90-page graphic novel, which I'm sort of toying with the idea of either trying to launch it as a 90-page graphic novel or split it into kind of four. But yeah, it's called Ness. It's about, obviously, Loch Ness and monsters at Loch Ness, but possibly confusingly, it's not about Nessie. It's about a group of young people who sort of stumble on an ancient secret cult, and this cult have kept the Loch's monsters in check for years. Unfortunately, just as this aforementioned group kind of stumble on it, the last cult member is killed, and the monsters sort of get free. So it's about... By the way, this is an absolutely terrible pitch. I've not worked on this yet.
I think it sounds quite good.
Sounds right. Yeah, I'm liking it. Yeah.
The idea of it is kind of a big blockbuster monster movie, but in comic form, because obviously, you know, Japan's got Godzilla. There's even, like, you know, in America there's kind of Cloverfield, which is an influence, but...
So it's going to be to that kind of scale, those kind of monsters.
Yeah, it just so the sort of the, if I do split it into four books, which possibly the first book's got kind of quite large sort of horrible monsters. second book will have bigger ones, and it just sort of escalates like that. So I've sort of, I guess the influences mostly are kind of, yeah, big blockbuster monster movies like Godzilla, Cloverfield, but also kind of with the weirdness of Del Toro, because I'm a huge fan of kind of Pan's Labyrinth and Hellboy and that kind of thing.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of the idea. I've got together an art team which I'm actually very proud of. On Inks, it's Robert Carey. He's got a Kickstarter at the moment called North Bend, which looks amazing. His stuff's just incredible. On colours, it's Dee Cuniff. He's worked on Wicked and Divine for Image at the minute.
Okay.
He's,
cool.
He's primarily kind of a flatter like colouring system, but he's done a few actual issues of it, I think, as well. And he's done a similar thing for the new run of Sandman.
Oh, wow.
Well,
that'll have taken him a while.
Yeah. And letter in it is Rob Jones of Marius.
Right. Yeah. So, not heard of him.
No.
Yeah. It's the guy in the orange t-shirt, usually.
Yeah.
So is this one of your creations that you're now shopping out to other people, is it?
The idea is to sort of put a preview together, which are the pages I've sent over. Apologies if they were unfinished, but you know, you can see the idea. So as soon as they're sort of finished, I'm going to try and shop it out to possibly just a handful of publishers and see if any of them bite, and if not, hopefully take it to sort of Kickstarter again, because obviously I'm a Kickstarter addict.
I think you're right, though. Try the publishers first on that, dude, because it does look great.
Yeah.
You've got to try that, haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I did write it kind of as a 90-page, you know, whole thing.
Right.
So it'd be fantastic to go straight to that, but I think on Kickstarter, it's just unlikely. I mean, the amount that I'd have to ask for in one go to sort of pay the artist and pay the colorist, because they are incredibly talented, which means their prices are...
Yeah.
You know, higher than usual. So, I mean, the amount of that flash for is possibly insurmountable. I mean, if I can get some publisher help behind it, that'd be amazing. I think, without trying to be sort of too big-headed, I think it's got the potential. It certainly looks amazing, and I think the script's fine.
the art looks great, but the setup you've given us there. It sounds like something I definitely want to check out.
Yeah, definitely, Emmy. Yeah.
You know, that's a great original take on... I mean, you say a monster movie, and you had me a monster movie anyway, but then when you say it's going to get up to the scale of, like, you know, the Godzillas and things like that, you know, that sounds crazy, you know, how this is going to develop on from there. So I think, it looks brilliant and professional as well.
With a sort of Scottish-British slant to it, I'll definitely be on board for that, yeah.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually had James McCulloch, you know, the editor of The Grime and the writer of Souls. He's very Scottish, so I've had him go over the script where I've attempted to do a Scottish accent in the text. He's been to change it to actually Scottish, which has been a massive help.
That's very good. That's very good, though, that you've done that. You know, you've actually cared about authenticity.
Yeah, I mean, he said I sort of butchered a few things, but he's fixed it now. It's fine.
They're a strange bunch up there.
Are you alone up there, Tony?
Yeah, I'm half Scottish, sadly. But, yeah.
What do you mean, sadly?
Well, they bully me, don't they, for being English. But
everyone bullies you.
I know.
Apart from us.
You try your best.
Especially you.
Shut up, Tony. So, Ness, I mean, obviously, this is... very much early stages, isn't it? You've sent us the artwork and things like that. When do you think that things will be progressing with that?
Like I say, I'm going to try and send it out to a couple of publishers and see. Yeah. Just, I mean, I don't really expect any of them to buy it, because obviously, it looks good, but
you hope for the best, but you know, you also you're realistic as well. You know, sometimes no matter how good the idea is. People might not snap it up, but then it could become a cult phenomenon. You know, you never know, do you?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not sort of a... I couldn't see an Image or anything like that, but maybe a sort of a boom kind of level. So I'm going to try and send it out, see what happens. But at the same time, I'm planning the Kickstarter and trying to make that as sort of as good as I can as well. The original plan was to try and launch in March, because I've got Liverpool MCM, DutchCon, you know, the those places to sort of promote it. But I think with Doc Dano, we might be trying to relaunch kind of soon, so that I'll knock that back a little bit. But I think it might be more of like a summer book, you know, big monsters, kind of huge
blockbuster.
Yeah, exactly, like that kind of thing. So it might end up kind of launching in June.
Plus, you want to get it right as well, don't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no point in rushing it, is there? Especially if you're going to shop it around a bit. You hear about some projects that are years in the making, you know, and rightly so. Yeah.
I mean, I've been sort of working on the script a couple of years ago. For a couple of years. The whole thing kind of started because my friend Ian, he made a mock-up of a fake movie poster that was NES by J.J. Abrams.
Right.
And just from that picture, I was like, I could do something with that. That's given me an idea. I'm going to have to credit Ian in the back of it somewhere.
Oh, nice.
Awesome. It's brilliant how that starts, that kind of like inspiration will just hit, won't it?
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome.
That's fun.
Right, so as well as Ness, you just mentioned the grime a little bit there. That's another thing that you've had your dirty little hands in.
It is, yeah.
And I've spoken about it on this show. Gave it a shout on the show, and everyone should check it out.
Yeah.
In fact, your story was my favourite of the lot, and it's a very nice anthology, actually. But
Thank you. Yeah.
So I can see how the Ness giant monsters and really twisted goings on are going to play out, because your story, Blinded, if I remember correctly.
That's it.
It was very disturbing.
in a
brilliant way, you know, because normally, I must say, when it comes to like horror. Stories, or especially in a comic book format or in an anthology format, they don't always get a sort of like a real visceral reaction from me, but because of like the nature of some of the things that happen in that short, I was like which aren't sexy noises, Tony, don't say
it's a little bit sexy.
A little bit, yeah.
Like 10%.
Yeah. So, but how did the grime come about? Because that was another Kickstarter. It was a very small, you know, quite humble Kickstarter, I think, for what has turned out to be a very nice looking book.
Yeah, the grime was kind of my fault.
I'm using that as an outtake. No.
James McCullough kind of he posted on Facebook that he'd finally decided on a title for the anthology that he was working on. So. You know, with sort of full of his own stories, and he was going to find artists, and so I read that, and I was kind of bored in work, so I just commented saying, like, you know, how dare you put together an anthology without inviting me and Tom? purely as a joke. And about half an hour later, he sent me like a direct message on Facebook saying, like, oh, would you guys want to be involved? So yes, absolutely. So I sent him over a couple of stories, and yeah, it just sort of built from there. So. You know, he included what we'd done, and we, you know, we found artists and put our stories together. And you know, James went away and sort of built the rest of the stories, and he found the other writers, the other artists, and he put the whole thing together. And then he ran a Kickstarter himself, which was, you know, a success. And from issue two, which we're sort of putting together now, he's asked me and Tom to jump on board as editors as well as writers.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's sort of, we sort of hijacked James's idea and ran with it a little bit.
So it is going to become like a sort of a sporadic sort of series then, because it's got a real sort of punk rock sort of feel to it, you know, the way it sort of come together and stuff. You know?
Yeah, pretty much. We're putting together Grime 2 now. We've sort of chosen the stories, and we're just now sort of letting people know that, you know, they're in, and we've chosen them. We're trying to match up writers with artists and put that all together. I think he's hoping to sort of kickstart it kind of April, May time. But again, it's going to be quite a low goal, because, you know, the idea is to sort of pay the contributors in books as opposed to cash. So it means that we're going for you know, the print run, pretty much. So the idea there is, it, like, rather than pay someone, you know, £100, you know, for sort of a 6-7 page story, we give them 100 books, and the books are worth £4 each. So if they go to a lot of conventions, They can potentially sell that for £400.
And whatever they take home is theirs completely.
Oh yeah. So we sort of pay in books, which I think it's a bit unconventional, but like I'm not sure why other sort of anthologies don't do it.
That's an interesting way of doing it. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it helps people who, because the idea is to sort of find people who aren't completely involved in the comic scene. But still want to be involved. So they want to go to conventions. They want to have things on their table that they can sell.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe they've got one book, which they've worked on themselves and they've sort of putting that out. But now, if they get involved in the grind, then we'll send them 100 more books. So that's something else on the table and something else they can sell. And it seems to a lot of people seem to be responding to that quite well.
Nice.
You got, obviously, you have loads of people selling it as well. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, obviously, yeah. It works out well for everyone. So it isn't kind of the best investment, like short term, but long term, it means that people, you've got things to sell, you've got work to show off. And
It's a collective, then, isn't it? You've almost like got a collective of people that are actively involved in this thing that you've created.
Yeah, pretty much. And obviously, every issue that'll sort of grow. Yeah, so I think at the minute we're looking for stories for issue 3, so if anyone has sort of a terrible,
brilliant,
nice,
or a fine story, kind of like 7-page short, that they think they can
it is very much a horror anthology, black and white, isn't it, but it's got a real sort of, I don't want to say grittiness is a bit of a cliched word, but it,
griminess, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the grime is the perfect title for it, isn't it?
I think like, James's intention is that afterwards you feel a bit dirty and feel like you need a shower.
Hey.
Like this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, obviously with my story Blinded, I mean, it takes a lot of effort for me to do straight up horror because I try and get things a little bit silly.
Yeah.
So it's not completely horrific. There's just some sort of very oddball, strange things happening.
I think when some people try to be too horrific, it really falls flat, I think.
Yeah, you can't try and be too serious sometimes. I think it just comes across as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stories in the first issue of The Grind that are sort of straight up horror. So my idea was to sort of juxtapose that with just sort of the visuals that make people sort of squirm. As opposed to sort of get a shiver down their spine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the image that you mentioned before with the spiders coming out of their eyes.
God.
I had that page open at Thoughtbubble. I made a little list of everyone who came over and whether they went, oh, that looks good, or whether they just went, oh, God, I ran away.
Both of those reactions are perfect, though.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In a twisted kind of way, even the people that are like, oh God, and then walk away from it, you've done your job in a twisted kind of way.
Really?
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
That's how I based my my adventures on Tinder.
Oh dear God.
Maybe you can try and use this image of the spiders coming out of girls' eyes and see what see if that's like it's only likes on Tinder.
If they do like a serial killer phone app, then they'll have that.
Oh God!
Yeah. For The Grind 2, my story is actually like a direct continuation of that.
Oh really?
So I'm doing sort of a serialized kind of story. The idea is just keep going bigger and bigger and stranger and stranger with it.
Oh, awesome! In some ways, it's a bit like the Prophets of Doom in like Paper Cuts and Ink Stains, isn't it? That's an ongoing.
Yeah. I mean the other stories that we've got in from. Just people who submitted, obviously they're going to be standalone again.
Mm.
I think Tom is doing a sequel to his, but it's not a continuation, it's just the same character.
Mm. Is it the same art for Tom?
No, it's not. I think he's looking for somebody else just to sort of mix it up.
Yeah.
I'm using a different artist as well because Kevin, who did Blinded 1, Kevin Allen, he's just bought a house and he's just far too busy. So he's recommended me a few friends. So I'm going with it. It's a guy called Matt Slow. He's got a very similar style, kind of cartoony, but a bit sort of grotesque and strange as well. So,
right,
nice.
Hopefully, it should be good.
Nice. Ooh. Yeah, I got to give a shout out to because the guy that did the artwork for Tom's story was Dan Charnley.
Oh yeah,
Dan's a good lad, mate.
Avid supporter of this show, and we are an avid supporter of him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, he's a good lad.
Yeah, his art's kind of grotesque, but in the best way.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, his artwork almost perfectly sums up, you know, the grime as well. You know, it's really dark and lots of ink and exactly. Great stuff. And also, it's the first story in issue one, so you know exactly what you're getting in for as soon as you open it up. Dan, you're a lovely bloke, but we also worry about you. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. So, blimey.
Where can you write in to pitch for the next issue for that?
Chris? Right. Yeah. For the third book, exactly. Like I say, the second issue is pretty much kind of
signed off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We know what we want in that. Hopefully, we're going to get them all. For the third book, it's if you go onto our Facebook page, it's just search the Grime comic. It's all on there in the about section.
Okay.
So we're looking for kind of artists, writers. The email address is thegrindcomic@gmail.com.
Okay.
So either send us over like a 7-page script, or you know, if you're an artist, just a few pages of sort of sequential art would be great. Like I say, we a little bit unconventional in that we try not to pay in cash unless you know people demand it and their work's good enough to actually justify that. But generally, we'll sort of pay in 100 copies of the book, which we'll send anywhere. Yeah. And then if you go to conventions, it's something else for your table.
Yeah, definitely. It's good stuff. Yeah.
And again, I guess if people like get in touch with you, you're automatically, I guess, send them like, you know, you break down everything that's involved and what they'll be getting and stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. We want to be as transparent as possible. You know,
I'm sure a lot of people would be up for that, dude. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, we're absolutely not in it to sort of screw anyone over. We're not making any money off it. It's all about just sort of making quality sort of comics.
Yeah. Mm. Even though you are from Liverpool, so people, you know, naturally aren't that trusting, are they?
Yeah. Pretty much. But, you know, I've got sort of local sort of schemes and that kind of thing that make money off that. Yeah. So it's all fine. I try and be as clean as possible.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
But if you want to buy some car radios or anything like that, just...
I can be a stretch goal on your next book. Yeah. So blimey, you got a busy year ahead, haven't you, Chris? Really?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I'm also working on something else with Amar, which is kind of a secret at the moment.
There's a small page in the back of War Issue 3.
Yes, there is a little teaser.
It is cool. I've got my American Malevolence.
Yep. We chose that because it sounds really fun to say, and it is quite fun to say.
It is quite fun to say. It's got a lovely logo. It also sounds like some sort of heavy metal album, which I
Amar used to be in a heavy metal band, so
good man.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, just very briefly, that's kind of just a sort of an 80s horror story in a comic. So it hasn't got the sort of humour of War or Doc Dino. It's just kind of a straight, you know, revenge demon kind of horror movie.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Oh, that'll be interesting to see then.
Yeah.
Ah, so you're a big horror fan then?
Yeah, pretty much.
Good man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, keep on the lookout for Chris Welsh because he's going to be
everywhere
this year in book format. Although you're cutting back on your convention, so what are you doing this year, Chris?
We're doing the next ones that we're doing is True Believers. I think it's in Cheltenham in February.
I'll be there, so expect physical contact.
Awesome. cool.
That's what everyone says.
He's not doing it now.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean that one. No, and then we're doing Liverpool MCM in March, DutchCon in March. I think we've lined up. Oh, I can't remember. There's a few more that we've got lined up, but I can't remember if they're actually confirmed or not.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to be trying to do Thought Bubble and the Lick sequential art, that kind of thing. A few more MCMs. MegaCon in Carlisle's a really good con, which is quite small, but. It's you know, it's always been really good to us. So if we can get back there this year, that'd be our third year there.
Nice.
Yeah. So
because last year you in 2015 you did pretty much anything. If someone opened up a bag of crisps, you were there, weren't they?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. The idea of that was to try and figure out which cons are worth it and which ones aren't. So we just thought we'd sort of go hard and try and do all of them. Everyone that we could get to, and then. This year we'd know which ones are sort of worth going to, which ones aren't, for whatever reason. Okay. So, yeah.
Blimey.
So I think last year we did 14 or 15. This year we're doing about 7 or 8.
Right, okay.
14 or 15, jeez.
Yeah. Especially when you have to travel about for them and sort of counter into hotel fees and that sort of thing. It's a big deal, isn't it, these days? Yeah,
well, I think me and Tom kind of get around the hotel fees by just getting up really, really early.
Right, okay.
And do a lot of driving.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of coffee and any drinks involved.
Yeah. It's all steroids with you two, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, alcohol,
yeah. And dinosaur wine.
Yeah.
Well, actually, because Tom does pretty much all of the driving, I tend to be the one who gets drunk nowadays, and Tom hates it. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
Nice. So keep an eye out for Chris and Tom, wherever you see them at a convention.
Yeah.
Blimey, Chris. That's probably the most books that an individual...
I think it is that anyone's talked about, isn't it? Yeah, definitely.
I think Rob Jones must have talked about more books. He's put on like 3 out a day.
Did we have Rob Jones on? I can't remember.
We... Yeah.
He knows I love him. He knows.
So he's going to be at several conventions. But what other conventions and events do we have to look forward to, Tony?
Yes, we've got a few. We've got the 23rd of January. This was Jim Alexander let us know about this. He's the writer of Good Cop, Bad Cop, the third issue. The third issue is about to come out, which is the 23rd of January, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Geek Aboo Comic Mart, which is 74 High Street, Glasgow. And he'll be releasing Good Cop, Bad Cop issue 3 at that, which is written by him and drawn by Aaron Murphy, which is very good indeed, and I read it recently.
Nice. I was trying to find the link to that. Where can you find a link for that Geekaboo Comic Mart?
I think I found a Facebook for it.
Right.
I'll try and send you one, mate. I'll have a look. Right. You might find the best way to do it is go to Planet Jimbot, their Facebook page, because they're advertising the signing there. But I'll send you the link, and we can stick it out on the show notes, I think.
Stick it out. Cool. Go on.
Stick it out. Yeah. The 5th of February, between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m, is the Singing Dragon launch party at 1 Berwick Street, Soho. Books like Maria Stowen's Take It As a Compliment, which we loved on the show. Yeah. Steve Haynes and Sophie Standing's books, Pain Is Really Strange and Trauma Is Really Strange. A really interesting and worthy company. And they're having a little launch party. They've had a few books out over the last sort of 6 months, but they're having a little party at Gosh. And myself and Dan are going, aren't we, Dan?
Yeah, we're going to that.
Yeah. We got a formal invite on the email today. It's pretty impressive. God knows why they want us there, but yeah, we're going to that. And then the following day is the True Believers Comic Festival at Cheltenham Racecourse. £10 standard ticket. At it are Lonely Vincent. He's going, aren't you, Vince?
Yes, I'm going.
John Paul Bove, Kate Brown, Rob Williams. So I love Rob Williams' 2000 AD output. Really good stuff at the moment. Good old Mike Collins. Tim Quinn's going to be there. That's going to be quite a good event. That's been running a couple of years now. I might try and get to it. The 14th of February, which is the day that Lonely Vincent is quite sad, between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. It's the DIY Art Market. It's run by the HackneyFleaMarket.com. That's at Epic. I don't know what that is. Sounds like some kind of children's club. 13th.
What? Epic sounds like a children's club?
Oh, it's a nightclub where people roller skate or something. I don't understand. And that's at 13 to 15 Stoke Newington Road. At it are friends of the show, Mike Medaglia, Catriona Chapman, Avery Hill, who we're getting on, one of the guys from Avery Hill in a couple of weeks. Good guys.
Brilliant.
Tiny Pencil,
or are
Abbott,
we?
Sousa. Sorry?
Or are we?
Or are we? Yeah. Gareth Brooks, my old table mate Gareth Brooks, is going to be there. It's a big old, let's call it the mixtape crowd. I'm calling them that. they're going to be there, but there's some good stuff there, definitely. And then the biggie, which is the 20th and the 21st of February, London Super Comic Con, which we will have a table at. Professional guests attending are Yannick Paquette, who, if you look in the background of the picture I just sent you of Batman having sex with the Elongated Man, you can see a Yannick Paquette missing. Tom Palmer, Gary Frank, Duncan Fregredo is fucking brilliant. Howard Chaykin, CB Sabowski's going to be there. Frank Cho, a whole absolute raft of people, and they keep announcing more.
I know Frank Cho is one of, he's been a massive influence for, like, in sort of humour and strips and stuff.
Yeah.
But I know it's going to be one of those, I'm going to be too nervous to approach his table.
Yeah. Well, that was what I also was going to say. We'll be doing a few like roving interviews. We'll be trying that old mess again.
Yeah.
So Do you think we can get Frank Cho on an interview? We can try, can't we?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Try.
Yeah. How good would
that
be? It'd
be worth it just for the audio of me going, oh.
Yeah, I've got some audio of you doing that already when you pocket rung me from bedtime the other night.
Let's not here, Tony. Not now. Not like this. Yeah.
Small press-wise, at it are Rachel Smith, Big Punch Studios, Adam Cabwell, the Loose Gannon guys, Fly Comics we talked about a minute ago, good old Dean Beattie, Anastasia Catriss, T-Pub guys, Orangutan Comics, they're great people, Diego Publishing, Dead Canary Comics, Astral Gypsy, I mean, you name it, Mark Ozier, Aces, everyone's going to be there. We're going to have a table, pop over, see us, we'll have some postcards and stuff like that.
We'll have some postcards, we'll have some printed copies of Red Mask and another book.
Yes.
Dan. Yeah.
We think we're going to have some Vanguard goodies, aren't we?
There's going to be some Vanguard. Ness.
I'm currently going through the Trials and Tribulations getting it printed up.
Which means that soon there'll be an episode just talking to Dan about how he feels about that whole process.
Yeah. I'm just going to hold him. Through the whole I can't wait to see it because my name's on the back cover and I'm so happy about it. Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Yeah. In bold attacks.
In bold type.
Yeah. Tony's name is always bold.
Yes, that's it. So go to LondonSuperComicConvention.com. You can still get tickets. Come and see us and have a laugh. We have fun there. I go there every year. It's been good. Yeah, great fun. So pop along. That's it for the events. There's some beyond February, but there's a few coming up. So I've sort of...
we can only do so much. We can only do so much.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Cool. Plenty to look forward to, and the year has only just begun. Does anyone have any shout-outs?
Yeah, I've got a few. Shall I go?
You can do.
Yeah, okay. Pipe Dream Comics, who I know we'll speak about in a minute. They're running a online digital comic awards, I suppose, best of for 2015. And we're pleased to say that Electric Comics, did they announce yesterday?
I believe so.
Yeah, they announced Electric Comics won App of the Year, which I'm over the moon because we loved it when we had Leah Moore on. And it is a really lovely app and with some gorgeous artwork. And it's only growing. I think they've started sort of adding all the new contributors to it now and stuff like that. So it looks great. Lee is going to be on the website, I think, on Pipe Dream Comics, pipedreamcomics.co.uk. She's going to be doing an interview with them soon, which will hopefully be something that's very interesting. They're running a best of 2015 comic at the moment. And so go over to pipedreamcomics.co.uk and have a vote, just what you think is going to be your digital comic of the year. They ran a best of, a really well thought of. I was really impressed with what they came up with. A very well considered... with 10 people on it, all of whom really good. We had Laura Trinder and Christian were on it, named on it, Maddius Comics, and also Daniel, you were on it, weren't you, mate?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Very, very pleased and surprised.
Yeah, yes. Richly deserved, which you said to me, I'm on it, look, and you deserve to be on it, mate, because Vanguard's brilliant. So, yeah,
it's
very, very good
Thank
article.
You.
Yeah, and we've seen a few sort of best of 2015s that have been a pile of cack, but this was a very very good one. Other shout outs, if you don't mind me, I'll crack on.
Well, before you say that, let's just say Pipe Dream Comics is the place. If you read all your comics digitally, or if you're interested in digital comics, they're the place to go. And I think this well thought out best of lists and like all the polls and stuff that you've been doing just highlights that how well thought out their articles and reviews are. Whether it be like just interviews with creators who are launching their stuff digitally, I mean they do focus on digital formats where it's web comics or Comixology or Sequential or whatever, but they're very, very generous to small press creators as well, and they always show us some love and we show them love.
Who's
given their red mark? Was giving a shout out for best of the comics he's met. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Dan. Oh, yes. I somehow managed to get on a list of best of 30 Comixology submits for this year. So,
what number were you having?
I was between 21 and 30.
Oh, well. What was number 17? So,
he's giving you the smackdown there.
Yeah, I'm not going to be competitive, Chris, but I'm a true believers and I have quiet shoes. So watch yourself, son. The red mask is coming for you.
We'll get to that top of the list, however it takes.
Yeah. But their lists are always really thought out. You know.
Yeah.
PipeDreamComics.co.uk, worth checking out.
Yeah, cool.
A million reasons, it seems, this year. So. So there you go. Anyway, carry on, Tony. Shout out.
Yeah, a little shout out to some people I was out on the piss with last night. Emily Owen, who has literally just texted me with Twat Watch, just says that. Gav Mitchell, who showed me a page from Troll Tooth Wars, which he knows why. I'm over the moon about it. It looks brilliant. Candice Karamin, her boyfriend Andy, Matt Harrower. It was a good laugh, yeah, just to say hello to them. They came down to London for the night. And the other thing I just wanted to say quickly, I know it's mainstream comics, but if you're not reading it, then it's time to pick up issue one of Swamp Thing, which has been written by Len Wein and art by Kelly Jones. And I'm kind of back on DC now because of this book. Absolutely gorgeous. It takes you back to pre-Alan Moore Swamp Thing, the sort of Bernie Wrightson days. Yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous, and really well written. Yeah, if you're into horror, which obviously we've been talking about, pick up Swamp Thing number one. It's one of a 6-issue miniseries. Very nice. Yeah, that's me.
Talking of mainstream, I tweeted Mark Lamming today, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Said, when does the Planet Hulk trade paperback come out? He said 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so
my finger is firmly on that pulse. Next time I pop up to Orbital, I'll grab a copy of that.
Yeah, it's on their new shelf. As you go in, it's on the right on the new shelf. I bought a copy of it myself. Yeah.
And like, you don't have to be au fait with whatever Marvel were doing in that time. Planet Hulk as a standalone story is amazing.
Yeah, it works really well. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Sam Humphries and Mark did a cracking job. Absolutely cracking job.
Yeah. I just find the Hulk standalone, when they do kind of like Elseworld style stories with him, always work really well.
Yeah. Like, I don't always follow Planet Hulk. Yeah, I don't follow the ongoing so much, but it's those standalones.
Yeah, that Planet Hulk series that they made into an animated movie was really good as well, wasn't it? The original.
Okay.
Yeah, that's well worth a look. Yeah.
Blimey.
Cool. Awesome. There you go.
Splendid. Shout-outs. All done and dusted, apart from A Place to Hang Your Cape. If you like superheroes, as we do here, we love our monsters, but we also love our guys in capes, don't we, Dan?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, you're getting in top 10 lists for it, mate, now, so you obviously like them quite a bit.
Yeah, don't make eye contact with him.
Where have you been meeting him?
I can't even see his shoes.
He's on the other side of the stall. Anyway,
I think you find ATM means cash machine in America.
Oh, brilliant. Anyway, A Place to Hang Your Cape. If you love superhero TV shows, well thought out articles and reviews of all the stuff you love, then check out AP2HYC. Always been so generous to the show.
Yeah.
And we're always nice to them. They're one of the few people that we mention quite a lot. So definitely check them out. And there's loads on there for you to check out. And there may be some more awesome pod stuff on there very soon.
Oh, good.
So we shall see. Yeah.
If you go to Down the Tubes, there's a little tab to click on to our website as well. And I've put a couple of things up in the last 4 or 5 days, which will be worth a look. Yeah, and John's a big supporter of the show.
Indeed, we're greasing many palms and having our own greased at the same time.
I prefer to use the word lubed, but that's fine.
Lube is a completely different kind of musical than grease.
I find Grease a bit weird. I think it's a bit weird.
Where do you put it? Talking about the musical. Oh, right, sorry. Right, shall we talk about the recommendations for our lovely listeners to check out?
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Should we go back to Tony?
Okay.
Over to you, Tony.
I'm going to go with a book that's not released yet, but is coming onto Comixology soon and is currently at the printers. It's by friend of the show, past guest, Chris Imber. It's Operation Boom, issue one, which he talked about on the show.
Yeah.
And it's fucking awesome. Loved it, absolutely loved it. It's the general story, I don't want to spoil anything, the general story is a secret government organisation sort of gather together to discuss how something's been stolen from them by a sort of terrorist group, a sort of well-armed and well-funded terrorist group. They put together a team of a mixture of sort of mercenaries to go and get what has been stolen back for them, and then it just fucking explodes. It just goes crazy. It's by Chris. He's written and illustrated it. Colours are by Chris Jenkins, and flats by Jota Zombie. What kind of name's that? I don't like that very much. It's put out by Reckless Hero. You can find it at recklesshero.com or Reckless Hero HQ on Facebook or Reckless Hero HQ on Twitter. It's got absolutely crazily designed characters, extreme action. Yeah, it's just bombastic, I think, is probably the best word for it.
Cool. See what you it did takes, there. That's
yeah,
a pun.
Yeah, it takes the last sheriff and turns the dial up again for me.
I mean, Chris, it's fantastic. He's a machine when it comes to art anyway.
Yeah.
And those who haven't seen
big time.
Yes, those who haven't seen his work, shame on you. But if he's very much a fan of the Street Fighter genre, all the Capcom games. He's one of those that grew up with that. And he's got a very Udon style. It's only a matter of time before someone snapped him up to work on something bigger.
I thought exactly the same thing reading it.
Totally,
yeah, exactly the same thing.
And I know Operation Boom has been a passion project for him for some time because he can just filter all of his love of all those video games, all those crazy sort of named Japanese beat-em-ups and RPGs, and he's put it all on the page, and it shows. Yeah. And the passion really shows. It's a beautiful-looking book.
Yeah. He lays out, basically, it's a setup issue with a big chunk of violence at the end of it.
Lovely.
Quality.
I was waiting for that.
Brilliant. Lovely character design as well. Really good. Yeah, pick it up. Yeah. It'll be out soon. I got to see a copy of it, fortunately. But look out for Comixology and the print copy soon.
Yeah.
There you go. That's mine.
The Reckless Hero guys always put out good stuff.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And they take a care in it. And there's no rush out, badly spelled rubbish from them. No, they crack into some great stuff. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, brilliant. What about you, Dan?
I've been hitting the YouTube this week.
Here we go.
Point of view videos.
Can't find them on YouTube.
Sneezing pandas.
I think I might have mentioned this chap before, but K. Michael Russell. I recently subscribed to his channel after finding... I wanted to find out to do the kind of the cut and grad style of colouring, just to kind of see what it looked like in my work. And he's got a wealth of kind of colouring, comic book production videos. They're really well put together. They're not 20 minutes of him waffling. Some of them are like 5-10 minutes long, and it cuts straight to the chase. Like, he gets on it straight away. I would say you need a little bit of knowledge of kind of Photoshop and in InDesign to kind of get the most out of it, because he presumes you're kind of proficient with those programs. There's a couple of great ones of like beginners learning how to color comics, like how to prepare pages for flatten, and then he goes straight into kind of like looking how to plan your pages, and then storyboarding, storytelling, and then ends up kind of like more the artistic side of like doing a painting style in your comic using Photoshop and what brushes to use, etc. I think the guy's done some professional work. I can't quite recall which what he had done, but they're an excellent resource, and the fact that they're free is just amazing. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube, but this guy's putting this stuff out for free, and it's really high quality stuff. I would recommend.
Awesome. Yeah. You should post a reaction video of you watching them, Dan.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do one.
Monetize it.
Awesome. That's brilliant. Yeah. Especially for all those budding colorists out there.
Yeah.
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 Oh, nice. Put that up in the show notes then.
Definitely.
As for me, I went onto a webcomic by Rachel Smith. It's Bess. When Rachel came onto the show to talk about...
new one, isn't it?
Yeah, when Rachel came... Yeah, because when she was on the show, talk about The Rabbit, fantastic book, everyone should check it out. She also announced she was working on a webcomic called Bess that she was planning to put out this year. Well, she's actually been good to her word, and it's been going for a little while now, I think. There's 19 pages in, so far, so I decided to jump in, and we've talked about before reading webcomics in chunks, you know, letting it build up a little bit. So I decided to jump in after seeing Rachel give one of those new pages being uploaded notifications that people do on Twitter, etc. And I can confidently say that this is a strip that I'm going to be following from now on as it progresses. Now, could I tell you what it's about? No. Could I tell you what's going to happen? No. But can I tell you that it's a pretty gorgeous looking mystery that I'm going to enjoy play out from now on? Yes, I thoroughly can. I started out thinking it was going to be more of an autobiographical strip, just purely for the name. It's my stupid sort of... That's how my mind works. Maybe with a dark sense of humour. And that's purely from the name. I thought, with a name like Bess, what could it possibly be? Yeah. And then I started reading it, and it starts with a prologue seemingly set either in the past or in some kind of fantasy land setting. Now, either way, that completely threw me and absorbed me at the same time, because I was like, what? What's going on? You know. After that, we flash to modern day, and a girl called Lindsay. She's got bright green hair, and she wakes up to quite a crappy morning. I can confidently say, I'm not going to spoil too much, but she wakes up next to complete prat after what seems to be a heavy night out.
It's up to us all, isn't it?
Yes. Although so far the tale is one of someone who's having a crappy day, I took an immediate liking to Lindsay, and I'm looking forward to seeing how she fits in to the tale, because that bit, as soon as you meet her, it seems so so distant from the prologue that I'm wondering how it all fits together. I don't even know who Bess is, and right now I don't care, because the strip's so good. Rachel's artwork is just beautiful, clean, crisp. I remember you guys saying you saw some original stuff in Orbital.
Yeah.
How does she... She works with Blue Line, and things. Is it Blue Line? Is that how
I think
she works?
Yeah, works with Blue Line, then puts it into Photoshop, does she? I'm not sure. I think so. Yeah.
I think they were inked by hand, and
right,
then put
okay.
in Photoshop and coloured.
Yeah. It's interesting. Believe. Yeah, because her inks look almost so clean, they look like they could be digital, if that makes sense. I don't know whether
they should... Yeah, the pencil line isn't... The blue line is surprisingly not that, actually. Not unpleasant at all. But, yeah, I thought she'd have a cleaner blue line to that, but I think she sort of roughs it out. Yeah. And that's what they had up on the wall there, yeah. Weirdly, I met Ricky from Avery Hill, and he hinted that something might be coming from her soon, from them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what cool. that's going to be, but that sounds interesting. He also hinted, we'll get this off Dave when he comes on the show, but he also hinted the amount of books that Avery Hill are putting out this year. And oh my God, they've got a few plans in the few irons in the fire around that, I'll tell you now. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so that should be interesting.
Yeah, that's plenty to look forward to.
Yeah.
So obviously Rachel's pretty busy, as well as the web comics are, some people do them as a sole thing, some people work them around other stuff. I'm guessing I think she's had Bess in the works for quite some time now, I think, if I remember correctly, her saying, you know,
she's pretty prolific, isn't she?
Yeah. But there's 20 pages completely free to read.
Nice.
Yeah, so, and it obviously is a webcomic, so it will continue. It updates every Tuesday and Thursday. So probably by the time you read this, there might be 21 pages. There might be 22.
Because she updated Flimsy the other day, she does that as well.
Yes.
Which I noticed. I must give her a pull, actually, because she still hasn't answered the question that I sent her about where should we all go on holiday together to. Which she still hasn't done. I might bend her ear about that in London. She said.
Oh dear. Yeah, please do. Although God knows what she'll say. But definitely check out Bess. It's a nice, nicely designed sort of webcomic. Very simple. It's just a story. You know, that's all you can. That's all that's there. Do you know what I mean? There's no confusing sort of internet guff.
Yeah,
you know, it's just a good story, and you can find it at bestcomic.tumblr.com.
Nice.
So well worth checking out, that one.
Cool.
So, Christopher.
Hello.
What would you like to recommend to our lovely listeners?
Well, I've picked something that it's not new, but it's something that I find people don't know about, and it's one of my favourite kind of graphic novels that I've ever read. It's out from Image. It's about 6-7 years ago. It's called I Kill Giants.
Okay.
It's written by that. Joe Kelly, art by J.M. Ken Nimora.
I've heard a lot about I Kill Giants.
Yeah, I've seen it on the shelf, but I've never read it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's honestly one of my favourite books. It's actually funny that I read The Rabbit last week, and it's sort of a similar sort of story. So it's about a young girl who, in I Kill Giants, she's convinced herself that these huge things are going to, you know, come out of the sea, and they're going to attack her and her family, and they're going to destroy her little sort of her little town. So she takes it on herself to be the one to protect her. So to protect all of that. So when these giants do come, it's kind of a bleeding, you know, fantasy bleeding into reality kind of thing, and it's all a huge metaphor for things that she's dealing with in her real life.
Okay.
Which is quite similar to the Rabbit in as many ways, but it's sort of a similar sort of concept. I think it was around kind of 2009, sort of 2010 kind of time. It was like a 7-issue run. You can buy it all in one volume, and it's honestly one of the best things I've ever read.
Oh, nice.
Wow, okay. Yeah.
So the art is kind of manga-ish, but not too much. It doesn't sort of...
Is it a sort of mix of like Eastern and Western sort of art?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm not sure where the artist is from, but you can sort of see the manga like influences, but it's not 100% manga. It's great. It's called Ankle Giants, and you can definitely pick it up quite easily.
Awesome. I'm gonna put that on my wish list.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
sounds good.
It's so good. I've got a tattoo of it on my forearm. So
bloody hell!
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously won me over by having giant monsters in it, but I'm a big fan of big monsters.
I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
Do you like pink dinosaurs?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Barney. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, everyone should be. Should be a government health warning. Ah, brilliant.
Yeah, I did honestly. I thought of something new, but then I was thinking, well, that's one of my favourite books. People who I mention it to go, I've heard of it, but I've never read it. So maybe, you know, if that'll convince some people to read it, it's definitely worth it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's why it's called the recommendation section of the show.
Yeah, there
you go. Yeah, brilliant. So many books to check out this week and to put in the show notes, lovely.
Yeah.
So I expect you all to send me those links to make my life a lot easier. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you very much for joining us, Chris.
Yeah,
cheers. Thanks for having me. It's great.
It's been a quality one. And it's good to know that you've got loads coming out. So, and we'll definitely... Never know, folks, you might hear him again if we catch him at a convention somewhere.
Yeah.
Not literally catch him, like hunt him down and put him in the back of the van.
Even Luke couldn't have him. Incredibly hard to actually catch.
He's laying down the gauntlet there, Vince.
Well, I'm always greased up, so it's quite hard to grab me.
Oh, damn. There's a joke there somewhere. There's a lot of great books this week for you all to check out, and no doubt tell us off, because I've already been told off for more people adding stuff to their wish list.
We had a bit of that again this week, didn't we? I'm pleased.
It's a brilliant kind of telling off that people people actually want to check out this stuff, which is brilliant, which is why we mention it on the show. So yep. If there's anything you want us to know about, or let us know what you think of this episode, and how to get hold of Chris, even though he's all greased up, and let us know how to actually get hold of him, physically and emotionally. And there's several different ways you can do that. You can email us at awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Any events, etc., let us know on tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. We've had a few emails coming through, actually, with books and events and stuff.
Yeah, we have,
so,
yeah.
So thank
you. Great stuff, through.
So thank you to everyone who gets in touch with us. Follow us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod. There'll always be links to, like, our next guest, etc., and God knows whatever we're going to put on there, as well as the Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, where you can... whatever picture will come out from this episode and what each one of us are doing individually, or the fan art that
we need a little chat about that, don't we?
Yeah, Mr. Gibbs will do of us.
Breaking last out week's tour, Troy. Yeah,
brilliant.
That brilliant album cover style artwork that you can check out on the facebook.com.
I even got the shade of corduroy that I wear
It was beautiful. I thought it was a photograph.
Yeah, could have been, couldn't it?
Yeah. Is it going to be acid jazz? Is that going to be your genre?
I like acid country, acid as country.
Lovely.
Yeah,
bit of skiffle.
What's that music you're into? Is it scat?
That's not music.
What?
Oh.
It makes a noise, but it's not music.
So if you get, like, I don't know, scat drum and bass, what would that be?
That's most drum and bass, isn't it?
No, dubstep scat. I'm sure there's some out there.
Yeah, don't look up Two Guys, One Stump. Don't look that up.
Oh, dear. Anyway...
Scat step.
Anyway, thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com or whether it was iTunes. Thank you to everyone that's listened and left a review.
Truly
appreciate all of you. Thank you again, Chris, for joining us this evening.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That's great.
And for putting up with us.
Yeah, it was a lot more fun than I expected.
it's what they all say. And where can you catch us on Twitter, Tony?
Yeah, if you want to do me a mixtape, I'm.
Be careful, son. Just be careful what you ask for.
I like the way I'm actually 15 years younger than you, and you, but you still call me son. It's nice. Ezohyz, or you can find me at dantubes.net. Thank you.
Lovely. Dan?
On Twitter, it's at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard Comic at vanguardcomic.com.
Oh, say Vanguard Comic again. Say it.
Vanguard Comic.
Yay!
Yay! It's the top 10.
Shameless self-promotion, aka, no.
Almost. It's either half full or half empty.
Oh, dear. Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and check out my website at theredmassfrommars.com, of which I'm going to be posting some more stuff on there soon and sorting it out. So, and Chris, where can they find you on Twitter, my friend?
On Twitter, I'm one of those awkward bastards who use kind of underscores in the name. So it's C_W_Writes. Or if you want to read the Walk comic, it's walkcomic.com.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
That says it all, doesn't it?
I recommend people do that.
Yeah. No, I had a fun hour reading it this morning. Great stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Quality stuff. There's so much for all you people out there to read this week. So don't blame us. Anyway, as always, thanks for listening, folks. And from Tony, Dan, Chris, and myself, have a brilliant week and stay awesome.
See ya.
Bye.
Right, this week we've got a very special guest coming up.
Yep.
We've got a few. Oh, well, would you call them technical issues? Not so much technical.
Well, it's a bit of a buzz in it, I suppose.
Yeah, a little bit of a buzz, and it's not just the buzz of us talking to each other.
Like in your ear, white noise.
Oh, lovely. Well, that's
all. With the vibrator at my ass.
Oh. Right, we're gonna go again.
Let's go with that one.
Oh, you know that. Remember when Lennox Lewis lost his world championship and he smiled at the other boxer and then the boxer punched him in the face out of nowhere? That's what that felt like.
I almost let a bit of wee out then.
Oh, fucking hell, Dan. There's our outtake.